Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain. Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter, dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're going to take a look at prescription eyewear. What's new and maybe what's not new, but what you have questions about as we visit with Jim LaLuzerne. He retired from a 45-year career during which he was the CEO of five different optical-related companies, president and the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. And he's been a regular guest on our program for a long time now to talk with us about what's going on with eyewear. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. Do you wear glasses? How often do you check them to see if you need a different prescription? Mine's starting to feel like I need a different prescription. As I look down at notes here, I'm seeing two of every letter, as a matter of fact, which makes it difficult sometimes, and which is why I sometimes give the wrong town. anyway, maybe you're that way or maybe not. And who do you trust to take care of your eyeglass needs? That's another question you might ask as well. Anyway, join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'll be glad to help you out. Jim LaLuzerne with us by phone. Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Hi, Larry, and hi, audience. And, Larry, I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better today.
Yeah, I had not a very nice day at all yesterday. And by the way, I wanted to thank Judith for at the last minute jumping into the fray and doing a wonderful job. It was great to have and Rachel Owen as well for helping out. It was I'm better today.
Good. Glad to hear that.
So. Well, you have worked in the field of prescription eyeglasses for several decades. What were the biggest changes that you saw over that time?
Well, the single one biggest thing that I think made a difference, a dramatic difference in people's lives, is the changing in cataracts from eyeglasses to intraocular lenses. If I had to pick one thing, I would say that it used to be if somebody had cataracts and had their lenses removed, they had to make a pair of glasses for them that, even if they were made perfect, was really a bad compromise. And today, people go for cataract surgery, get an intraocular lens, and come out, and they can see as good or better than they did before. So that's the biggest single one. In terms of eyeglasses themselves, I think the progressive lenses have made a dramatic difference in how people can see and view the world. And so presbyopia, which is the condition that starts afflicting people when they're about 40, where their arms appear to start getting shorter.
Yeah, I know all about it. And it was exactly 40.
Yeah. Now, usually people can put it off for a few years, but by the time you're close to 50, you've got to do something to be able to read. And in the simplest terms, the lens in your eye loses the ability to accommodate for near vision. And so what happens is that you can't see up close, and you have to have something to add to your glasses to give you that near vision. And in the past, that choice was bifocals or trifocals. And believe it or not, the first bifocal goes back to Ben Franklin's time. He actually invented bifocals. And the bifocal, as we know it even today, is pretty much the same as the way Ben Franklin made it.
Amazing.
Yeah, and in the early 50s, a French scientist perfected the first type of progressive lens. And they were really introduced into this country probably in the mid-70s. There was something that came about before that, but in the 70s they started to be used. But in a nutshell, what a progressive lens is, instead of having like a bifocal where you've got the upper part that's just for the distance and the lower part is just for reading, it usually has a line on it.
Yeah.
There's a gradual change in the curves from the distance to the reading part, and it allows people to see in the distance just fine. They can be able to read just fine, but everything in between is now visible. With bifocals, there were a lot of people that, you know, it was just beyond arm's length where you couldn't use the bifocal part to see it.
Yeah.
And it was too close to see it with the distance portion. And the progressive lens has solved that. And, you know, the early progressive lenses, you still hear people that tell stories about the difficulty they had. Today, they're very sophisticated products. The doctors and the dispensers are better at prescribing them and fitting them. The technology is more consistent. And we have success ratios with the better quality progressive lenses now in the upper 90%. So, you know, over 95% of the people that try them are successful with them. And I think you have progressive lenses, Larry.
Yes, I do.
And, you know, the difference between those and bifocals is pretty remarkable for most people.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We had an email from Sarah who says, for over a year, I've procrastinated about getting my new glasses. It's simply about cost. How can I be sure that a prescription glass discount business will give me the same quality product as the more expensive service at my healthcare provider?
Well, I can't give you any guarantees either yeah. way, because sometimes, you know, a high quality store might have a problem just like a discount would. Generally speaking, you pay for what you get and you get what you pay for. And my advice usually for people is to, if you're really, discount is really important, talk to your regular eye care provider, because many times they have special packages that allow you to get, you know, a combination of a frame and lenses together that might meet your budget. And one of the biggest things in eyeglasses is the frame itself. And most frames, from a durability and a functional standpoint, fall. I mean, there's a lot of style in eyeglass frames,
yeah.
just like there is in clothing. And you know, in clothing, many times you can get the same pair of tennis shoes that look the same, and one's $200 because it has Jordan's name on it, and the other one is $19.95 and doesn't. Yeah. And so there's a lot of that. So in the frame selection is a big way to be able to reduce your price. And also, if you look for packages, and if you talk to the most doctors, and even some of the commercial retail outlets have packages that can help reduce your cost.
Let's take a phone call. Michael in Milwaukee, we turn to you next. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. Thank you for the show.
Sure.
You were talking a little bit earlier about the progressive lenses.
Yes.
And I tried them in the past. I'm 64 years old, and I've had bifocals, trifocals for a long time. I only have bifocals now, but I tried the progressive lenses, and I couldn't get used to them. And they seem to be very disorienting, especially when riding a motorcycle, I seem to get disoriented. And I just wondered, you said there were changes to them now. I wonder if I should take a chance or if it's something that you get used to.
There's a number of issues that can affect how progressive lenses work. One is the particular manufacturer or a style of the lens itself. And there are literally 100 different brands of progressive lenses today. And in that 100, as you would imagine, some are very good and some aren't very good. And so it's the possibility that you got an off-brand. That's one possibility. The other one is that they weren't fit properly. And the fitting of progressives take a lot of extra care, and they really have to know how the person is using them. And, you know, if you're riding a motorcycle, I'm imagining you might be in a different and unusual head position, for example. I mean, normally they're fit for people that would be driving a car and reading a book and watching TV and doing normal things. Not that riding a motorcycle isn't normal, but, you know, those types of everyday things. And when your head position might be in a different place riding the motorcycle, so that might need to be taken into consideration. So there's a number of factors, but if you haven't tried them in a long time, I think that you might be very happy with them today.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. An email from Helen in Wisconsin Rapids. She says, several years ago, I lost my vision in my right eye. I have a terrible time with balance and depth perception, bright sunlight and darkness. I do wear glasses mostly for reading and wear transitional for glare prevention, safety to prevent any injury to my one good eye. But the glasses will seem to be an obstacle to what peripheral vision I have. I do drive recognizing my blind spots and I'm cautious. Any suggestions to make my life a little easier?
So, if I understand it right, he has vision in one eye.
That's Helen. Yeah, she has vision in her. She has vision in her left eye,
and she's concerned with peripheral vision.
So I do. Yeah, she says she has problems with balance, depth perception, bright sunlight, and darkness.
Sure.
Wears glasses mostly for reading, and she wears transitionals for glare prevention, safety.
When you lose one eye, you lose peripheral vision, clearly, because the remaining eye kind of has your nose in the way.
Yeah.
And people that have vision in one eye tend to look at you more directly and turn their nose out of the way as they view. And they also learn to scan more with their eyes to look around more. This person probably has already learned that and is doing that. If you have the frame itself happens to be interfering, then I would recommend a bigger frame or a rimless frame. You know, some of the frames today do not have a rim around it. Their lenses are kind of floating in a thin wire frame. It's very mm-hmm. common. And if the frame itself is causing an issue, then I would look at a different kind of a frame to solve that.
Let's take some more calls. By the way, you can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Mark in Unalaska up next. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for my call.
Sure.
Sam, another question on progressive lens. I have struggled with, well, not struggled too hard, but I struggled with a progressive lens. I had a Kodak and a Verilux brands. And each one, I thought the reading width was extremely narrow, such that I couldn't even read a newspaper column without moving my head from side to side. And I was wondering whether there was any brands in particular that seemed to have a wider field of vision.
There are a number of designs, even within those brands that you mentioned. Verilux has a number of different styles based on how the person moves their head and how they carry themselves. And that specific thing has been addressed with a number of specific progressive lenses. And I think that's the kind of thing you need to discuss with your eye care professional. Now, a couple things that affect that. When they do the fitting height, they're trying to see, you know, they want to make sure that you can look through the distance part easily and that when your eyes drop down to read, that you follow them down and you get into the reading area. If they're not set high enough in the frame, you have to drop your eyes way too far to get down into the reading area.
Mm-hmm.
And that can cause you to, you're actually in that channel, so to speak, at the reading distance. And then that's why it's so narrow. When you get down farther on the lens, you're into a wider reading area.
Okay.
So it could have to do with the fitting height that they put in the glasses. And one way to check that is look at your paper and just raise your glasses up a little bit and see if that helps. And so there's a number of techniques that they can do. Plus, there are some specific styles that are made for a wider reading area. For people that seem to have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing is the fitting of the frame is very important. If you don't keep it close to your face, you lose the keyhole effect. You get close to a keyhole, you can see a wider view. If you get farther away, it's the same thing with the glasses. So if they're not adjusted so they're up close to your face, you're looking through a smaller part of the lens.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck. Thanks very much for calling. And as a matter of fact, I just pushed my glasses up tighter to the bridge of my nose, and now I can see everything.
There you go, Larry.
Glasses slipped down a little bit, and I just didn't notice it. Now I pushed them back, and now I can see again. Well, let's go to Lou in La Crosse. We'll get to Lou in just a minute. Hang on there. We're talking prescription eyewear today with Jim LaLuzerne, who has a 45-year career in the optics business. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking prescription eyewear with Jim LaLuzerne and Lou in La Crosse. You are next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, good to talk to you. I have had glasses for 60 years. I got them when I was in second grade, and I have very, very nearsighted vision, and I have a great deal of expense buying eyeglasses these days because I've got a prism that I need in there, and I, you know, got astigmatisms, and I've got the nearsightedness, got a little cataract forming. Well, I have always bought my glasses through the clinic where my eye doctor is, and they've been, for the most part, pretty good to me. But recently I bought a pair of glasses I didn't like much, and I had some trouble with the adjustments, but then one day they just fell apart. And these were quite expensive. They cost me somewhere under $700, but very close. And I went back and asked what they could do because it was 2 years and not 1 year, you know. And they said that I would have to buy totally new glasses and pay the full expense because they couldn't fix it either. It's something with the side stem and the little screws that go in there, and a little piece broke off. And so I am left, because usually I intend to wear these glasses maybe 4 years if my vision doesn't change much. And they say that there is not a way of using the lenses, which are the most expensive part and really in good shape, in any other frame because they have no frame that they will fit into. And yet they have so many frames.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is this usual?
Well, it's a common problem, and it has to do with frame styles being changed fairly frequently. And there are, I know that in the laboratories that I've been involved with, we get glasses, many pairs of glasses every day that somebody says, can you find a frame that these fit into? Can you find anything to do it? And many times we are able to find a frame that they do work in.
Oh.
But sometimes we can't. So I don't know about your specific circumstances. If they indeed did try that, try to come up with something, maybe they tried and they weren't successful. It's important, especially when you have a prescription that sounds complex like yours, that those lenses are presented in front of the eye in exactly the right place. If the distance between the lenses changes a little bit, it can cause a lot of problems. If they're twisted or turned a little bit, it can cause a lot of problems. And 2 years is considered the normal life expectancy of a pair of glasses. Clearly, some people wear them longer, and if your prescription doesn't change, there's no reason why you couldn't do that. But, you know, and many places have a 1 or 2 year guarantee on their glasses for breakage. So I don't have much of an answer for you except that if you could maybe try either back with them and ask them if they could maybe send it to a laboratory or something where they could try to see if they could find a frame to work for it.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck, Lou. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email from Steve who says, I have floaters, so I constantly look through a haze in my right eye. Is there a lens that could help, or would it need a medical intervention?
Well, it's clearly a medical intervention. There's glasses. That happens before the light gets inside your eye, and I don't think there's any pair of glasses that can fix that from that. And sometimes those just pass away. It's, you know, it just goes away. Other times there's more serious issues. And if I suddenly got floaters, I would be standing on the doctor's doorstep having them look, because sometimes it can be pretty serious.
Oh, okay. Would those, you were talking about intraocular lenses?
Yes.
Is that something that...
No, intraocular lenses are used for people that have their lens removed because they have a cataract.
Okay.
And the floating material is between that, usually between that lens and the back of the eye, which is the retina.
Oh.
So your eyeball is roughly an inch in diameter or so. Yeah. And there's a fluid in there between the lens and the retina. And these floaters move around in that substance. And if they get in the line of vision, then you have a problem with it. And it's a very, very common occurrence to have some floaters. When they're severe or sudden, I myself had a retinal detachment a number of years ago, and out of the blue I started seeing little black floaters everywhere, and I did just what I said. I ran to the doctor, and I had retinal detachment surgery. Fortunately, it's an outpatient procedure in many cases, and pretty benign, and mine was successful. But that is something that, especially if they come on suddenly, but anyone that's new, I would, and enough to bother the vision, I'd be talking to an eye doctor about that.
Beth in Richland Center, we're on to you now. Hi, Beth.
Hello. My question is that I've been wearing glasses for about 40 years for both long distance and reading, and I had an evaluation a couple of weeks ago, and my long distance had returned to normal, and I'm just wondering what would account for that.
Your distance vision went back to normal, and in the past it had been, you'd had some prescription for it.
Yes.
Hmm. Had it been much before?
Had what?
Had your distance prescription been very strong before?
No, it wasn't very strong, but I did need it. And then I suddenly noticed with my glasses that things looked fuzzy when I was looking in the distance. So when I went back, it appeared that I just now have, I've got bifocals, but I just have clear glass in the top half.
Okay.
And everything's normal for that.
Well, I'm not... that doesn't sound like something that normally happens. It sounds like it's a good thing, but if there's a small, every time you get a examination, there's a little change from one to the next. Mm-hmm. And if you had very little before, that little bit might just change through a normal basis. But if it's a lot of change, I just really can't answer that question.
No.
I'd direct that to my doctor.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks, Beth. Thanks for calling. Emily in Arena, we turn to you next. Hi, Emily.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling.
Good. I have a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old, and I've gotten different answers from doctors about when to bring children in for their first checkup, so I'm wondering if you could give me your perspective on that.
Sure. The normal recommendation is that if there's no other reason to think, if something seems odd or whatever, that by 6 months of age, it's what they call a baby well exam. And sometimes the regular physician, if you have a pediatrician, they will do a very basic thing just to look for problems. Because the child can't respond very well, all they can do is look inside of the eye and see if everything's working. If your pediatrician does that, that's about all you can do. Many doctors, if you've got a regular doctor, offer a baby well exam for nothing. It's kind of a common thing. You bring your baby in when you get your exam, and they take a quick look. If there's a problem, of course, that you notice, you would want to do it sooner. The second time is at age 3 years of age is the time, and at that point, the child can respond back to the doctor and help look at their vision. And it's beginning the point in time when the child has starting to need to be able to see, to read, or to look at things in a more critical way. And some people think that that's a little early. I would say if you don't want to try it, then it, for sure before they go into school, Okay. There's so much. My wife is a school teacher, and she's over the years seen so many kids that she's a third grade teacher, and by the time they get to third grade, they've missed a couple years of being able to see well, and they get a disadvantage from that. So for sure, before they get into school, if 3 years is not too early.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're thanks, Emily, for calling. Don in West Salem, we're on to you now. Hi, Don.
Yeah, morning. I had a couple of things. Of that motorcyclist talking about the step lenses.
Yeah.
I had a problem with some glasses. I bought one set at one place because my insurance covered it at one place. They worked great. Had to get some new ones, but the insurance company wouldn't cover them. They had to change places, so I had them made there. And it was nothing but dizzy, and I couldn't walk, or it was hard to see. Everything spun. And I went back to them. They called up the first optical place that I had the first pair of glasses made, and it was a matter of regrinding the lenses or making a new set of lenses up and they changed where the degree of change was.
Yeah.
And for that woman with the bow, I notice if you call different optical places, sometimes you give the part number of the bow, she can see the number. Even if they're out of stock at the store, sometimes if you can get an optical place to call around, they can find some, because I bought another pair of glasses when my old ones were going bad, and even though they had quit making them, you could still find the same glasses.
Yeah, the same lenses, yeah. Good points there. Jim, comment?
Well, just on the first part, I mentioned in progressive lenses that it's very critical that the person, not the doctor's prescription, but the person doing the fitting, gets that fitting height and the distance between the lenses exactly correct. And I think what's happened in the first scenario that this guy had is the guy got it right and he was happy with the lenses. The second one took the measurement and came up with something different, and that's the reason he had the problem. And so it is critical that you've got somebody that, you know, is knows what they're doing and that they take care to do it. And if you have a problem, you do what he did. Go back and tell him I got a problem.
Yeah, and good for that one lens company to call the first lens company and get the information.
Yep, that's they should do that. They should do that all the time. There should be more of that. And I think in this case, the person did the right thing, and they might have made a legitimate measurement, but for him, it just didn't work. So it's a happy ending.
Yeah, happy ending. Thanks, Don. Thank you very much. Louise in Milwaukee, on to you now. Hi, Louise.
Hello. I have purchased both sunglasses and regular glasses to use indoors with progressive lenses. The sunglasses have a lens that's probably 2 inches high, and the indoor, you know, the modern narrow type lenses are probably about a little over an inch high. And I find that it's much easier to use the larger framed progressive lens than the smaller framed. Would you comment on how big the frame should be ideally for a progressive lens?
That's an excellent point, and it's something that I try to tell people when they ask me. The fashion today, as you said, in many cases is these very narrow frames, and that's kind of the look. The problem with that is that you can't get all the optics within that narrow part, and there is a minimum fitting height that should be observed when you're using a progressive lenses. And if you go to a dispenser and you've got a frame like that, they need to steer you away from that frame and say, no, you need a deeper frame. You found out because you had the other pair exactly what the problem can be.
Right.
And people need to get a deep enough one. There's a way to measure that. And the dispenser, sometimes they give in to a patient that says, no, I want this one, and they're compromising their vision, but they get the style that they want. So you gave me an opportunity to tell my story one more time, and you've made a very accurate observation.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. The other thing is, though, what is the depth, minimum depth that one should have?
Well, from the fitting height, and you know, I don't know if you remember this when they put your glasses on, but they probably had you put the glasses on and then mark the spot on your lens.
Correct.
The distance from that spot to the bottom of the lens for most progressives needs to be about 22 millimeters.
Okay.
Now, there's some progressives that are made for narrower frames, mm-hmm. and they get to the reading power faster. The problem with getting there faster is that can cause more distortions in the process. So it's a compromise, and my personal feeling is you go there for vision more than you go there for style.
Right.
So number one, get the one that works best for your vision, and then get it as stylish as you can.
Right. Basically, I selected the frame because I had had a very good experience with the same brand frame, having it lasted 4 years. So I thought,
yes,
I'm going to work for this frame because it's a good quality frame. Well, it doesn't seem to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a living example of my story.
Thanks, Louise. Thank you very much for calling. Caller wanted to know what material lenses are made of and what the pros and cons are of different types.
The number one material today, and it's the most common lens material, is a polycarbonate material. Polycarbonate has the advantage of it's a little higher index than normal lenses used to be, and that means you're able to get a thinner lens in any prescription. It's also lighter weight in itself. You know, different plastic materials for the same volume have different weights, so it's lighter weight than most. And polycarbonate is the stuff that they make bulletproof windows out of. And so it's a very, very tough material and very durable, and they can make it thin and light. So that's the number one advantage. It also, in and by itself, absorbs all the ultraviolet that, you know, that's UV protection in and of itself. So that has become the main material to be used. You can also get it with transitions, you know, ones that change. You can also get it with sunglasses. So there's a lot of advantages to polycarbonate. Conventional plastic has been around for over 50 years. Polycarbonate material has been around longer than 50 years, but it's only been in eyeglasses for maybe 25 years. The CR39 or the regular plastic from years ago has been around for over 50 years, and that's still a good material, but it's a little bit heavier. Does not have the impact resistance. Now, there are also what they call ultra-high index materials. And if somebody has a very, very high prescription, what they're able to do is they get these high index materials that are able to make the lens even thinner than they can with polycarbonate. First of all, they're usually more expensive. And there's other issues that come into play when you use those materials, but sometimes they're recommended. So, and rightfully so. Now, glass lenses are just about a thing of the past. I think in the U.S., the overall usage is only 2 or 3%, and that's usually for some very specific, maybe an industrial application that they're used for. It's very, very seldom do you see glass lenses anymore.
Let's turn to Bob next in Milwaukee. Hi, Bob.
Yes, good morning. As a disabled veteran, I can get glasses through the VA, but they are very minimal, and such as they don't provide any extras, such as non-reflective or anti-glare coatings.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if there's any way aftermarket in order to get that anti-glare or non-reflective coating put on my glasses, and I'll go ahead and listen to the radio for my answer.
Thank you. The answer is that I think in most cases you can get it from places like the VA, but you have to pay the extra charge for it when you order it. Most programs that have minimal coverage like that, you know, your basic glasses, the frame and the basic lenses might be covered, but an anti-reflection would be an extra, and they allow you to pay up that charge. So that would be the first thing I would check. It is possible to take lenses out of frames and have the AR coating put on after the fact sometimes. And it doesn't always work. When they do the AR coating, it's a very sophisticated process. It's put into a very large vacuum chamber that's heated up to a temperature. They release a plasma of certain metals that adhere to the lens. It's a, you know, it's a very complex thing. And that will only adhere to certain lenses that have been prepped in a special way. And so if you've got a lens like that that you don't know exactly what the prepping was on it, the anti-reflection coating may or may not adhere to it. So the first thing would be best is that if you can pay an upcharge for it, do it right there at that time. If you've got the glasses already and you want an AR coating, which I highly recommend to everybody, I would go to an eye doctor and ask them if their laboratory might consider doing it. That's the best advice I think I can give them.
Okay. And let's turn to Dee in Oshkosh. Hi, Dee.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have Parkinson's disease, and I think that it affects vision. It's not one of the prime things that they talk about, but I've had Parkinson's disease for about 13 years, and I have double vision, but it's really more, I can't read the newspaper. One column jumps into the other, and it's been very disconcerting. If I look up, I have to cover one eye when I'm reading, and now I've noticed if I walk down the hall, I'm bouncing off the wall on one side, and I wondered if that was something to do with it. Finally, they got some glasses for me. I have just a progressive lens, and then I have a reading glass that's very, very strong, and I use it just for reading, and that seems to be helping somewhat. But is there anything else that you can do to it? I can't, and then sometimes if I reading or something, and my eyes get cloudy too. I get clouded over really easily.
I think you're being taken care of pretty well by having the two pair of glasses, one for reading and one for general use. I do know that, you know, you've hit on something. That if you get double vision, if you can occlude or, you know, cover one eye, then the two eyes are not competing with the vision on it. Everybody gets two separate images from their eyes, and then the brain puts it together into one image. And if you've got, sometimes people have a thing where one eye shakes, and it really causes a problem because the two eyes can't put it together. And occluding or covering one eye is the best solution for that. I can't think of anything else from an eyeglass standpoint that could do better than what you've got.
Okay, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. Dee, appreciate your call. And Jim, thank you so much. The time flew by.
Oh, wow, did it.
Will you come back and be with us again?
I'd be happy to, Larry.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. Jim LaLuzerne, our guest today, 45 years in the optics industry, and doesn't he do a great job? He has so much good information, and it's always a pleasure to have him with us. We will have him back. I would bet on it. Well, social media coming up next here on the... Do you use social media? What are social media? Do you use social media? Why or why not? You're wondering if there's a platform that suits what you want to do better than others. Those are some questions we'll take up next with our guest, Don Stanley, right after this little short break. We'll be back in a minute.